Our Lord is good, isn't he? Amen. It's good to see everyone out. Amen. Again, amen. It's just a wonderful, wonderful time being here in Keyser, West Virginia. Plenty of rain. Amen. I talked to my wife. She said, it's the same here. I said, well, I don't know what's going on. Amen. But it's a good thing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's pray and we'll get right into the word tonight. Father God, we want to honor your presence and thank you for allowing us to be here before these kings and priests that are called by your name. Our desire is to learn more of your word, Lord. And we thank you for even allowing us to be in this place because you brought us here, God. This is all by design. And we give you praise and thank you for allowing us, amen, just to stand here. And I thank you for what you're doing in this city and in the lives of these people, Lord. And we thank you for even how the word is transforming our lives as we begin to go from faith to faith and also to glory to glory. Now, Lord, we honor you today. We yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Fill this vessel so that the word of God can be disseminated in a way that we can receive it in our hearts and in our minds and bring about change. We bind the enemy and all his devices, amen. We thank you that this word will be unhindered, unchecked, and that you, Father, will be glorified in all that we say and do this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. How many feel empowered? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're into the second day of our empowerment. Amen. Empowerment week. We had two more days left. Amen. I think we're going to make it. Amen. I think we're going to make it. Praise God. And that's a good thing. So I want you to be excited about God's word because God's word, the Bible said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that's what we need. We need more of God's word. Amen. So the purposes of us coming together, you heard me say this Sunday, and it needs to be repeated because our expectation, amen, of these meetings is based upon hearing the word of God. When we hear the word of God, how many know it's designed to transform and change our lives? Mm-hmm. Because the word of God is living and active. So you're just hearing a word, not just hitting in your ear. You're hearing a word is getting in your spirit, getting in your heart, getting in your mind, getting in your body. You just that when you sit under the word, you just don't know what God can be doing. You come in, amen, not feeling well, and I guarantee you before you leave, amen, if you hear enough of the word, it's not going to go home with you. Matter of fact, it's going to leave, praise God, because of the word of God. So this is all based upon us hearing the word of God so that our faith, somebody said, our faith will increase. See, the increasing of our faith, amen, amen, gives us the ability to receive what God has made available for us, or I should say to us, somebody say to us, for us, and operating through us. So that's what we want. See, that's what the church has been crying out. We were crying out for a move of God. Well, God, he wants to move through us, but he needs to educate us in terms of how that works, how that works, how that works. Amen. How many know that that's important? Because when you don't know how things work, amen, you can be in a terrible mess. You know what I'm saying? I've been that way many times, amen, trying to figure things out and didn't read the manual. I got this. And I spent all day trying to fix it. Well, all I had to do was read the manual. Because faith come by what? And hearing by the word of God, praise God. So I want to make sure that you hear that when you come in, you should expect, amen, God to do something. I always, even before I go to meetings, I always expect God to do something. I don't just go in and wait for him to do something. No, I'm expecting him to do something, amen. I'm putting my faith out there and believing, amen, that my life is going to be better. I'm going to hear something that alters, amen, what I've been doing in my conduct, my attitude, and behavior. I'm just in a place where I just want to understand God's word, not only for my life, but also that it reflects, amen, him working in and through my life. Can y'all say amen? So tonight we're going to be talking about learning to use our faith is a process. So we're going to slow down a little bit, amen, and see if we can lay some foundation again, and maybe we'll take off if the Lord says so, praise God. But learning to use our faith is a process, and it's a working process. Somebody say a working process. One of the greatest challenges for the body of Christ is that we already know. Already know, you know. See, we think when we hear something, oh, you need to hear this. Oh, I feel God moving already. When we hear something, we think we know it. Because hearing is really, we say we know it in hearing, we're really talking about recall or memory, which sparks conversation. But the word of God has never been designed for us to use it in that dimension. Jesus said this way. He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth you know shall make you what? Free. He said, not the truth that you remember. Oh, come on now. Come on with me. Tell your neighbor, strap up. Strap up. Yeah. So he said, because that word know is to become intimate. To become intimate. The Hebrew teaching and the model is that it's not for you to remember or recall. It's for you to do what you've been taught. And then it becomes intimate with you, and then you become one with that truth, and that truth, amen, now can work its reality working inside of your heart. So a lot of times people will, even I can go places and I can turn to a certain scripture, and I hear people recalling the scripture, which is good. Oh, I know where he's going. He's going right there. And then they say, you know, before I can quote it, they quote it. And that's a good thing. But there's something else that sometimes is not connected properly, where it's in memory, but it's not in action and experience. It's not in action or experience. You know, since I got saved, I was 25 when I gave my heart to the Lord, and I didn't go to church, didn't know anything about church, but I've seen a lot of church people. Matter of fact, I worked with a lot of them, you know, and they were smoking and drinking more than I was, and they said, come to church. I said, really? What are we going for? You know, it didn't connect. It didn't make any sense. I wasn't trying to judge them. I just knew that if you're going to be a part of something, then it should be a part of you. Yeah. Is that all right? Uh-huh. So the thing here today is that we want to make sure, amen, that we understand that we're all in this learning process, amen, of learning how to use our faith. Amen. We're all in that learning process. Amen. When I say the learning process, amen, it's going to take a working process on our end. In other words, if you don't work it, it won't work. One time I was praying one day, and the Lord dropped this in my spirit by the Holy Spirit. He said, work the word, and the word will work for you. I said, can you get that to me again? He said, if you work the word, then the word will work for you. I said, wow. I said, this is good stuff. Amen. So if we learn to work the word, then the word will what? Will work for us. Amen. So one of the things we're going to be looking at tonight in growing our faith is tied to receiving. Now, this is important. I wrote this down as I was just spending time with God, and the Lord had me make sure I put these pointers down because I want to make sure that you hear them, because, again, when God gives us revelation, he's really giving us an understanding in terms of what he means in terms of the things he gives us. And the Bible said, my people were destroyed for the lack of what? So that knowledge is tied to having an understanding. Somebody say, having an understanding. Because, see, when we don't understand, amen, what happens is the enemy gets the advantage. Are you hearing me? Just like I was riding here tonight, and God said, a lot of his people are fighting the enemy. He said, why are they fighting the enemy when he's already been defeated? Let it sink in for a minute, you know what? Because most people think we're fighting. We think the enemy is trying to keep us from receiving what God has for us. He's defeated. The only way he gets the advantage is to make us to believe that he's not defeated. And the only way he can do that is if we don't know who we are in Christ. See, there's four things. You can write these down for free. Amen. It won't cost you anything. Amen. There's four things that you and I, through learning, that we have to know on a personal level. And what the first thing we need to learn is who we are in Christ. That's important because that points to your identity. See, the world thinks that their identity is in things and stuff. That's where you work. That's what you do. That's your occupation. Amen. So the first thing is, who are we in Christ? That's very important. Amen. Because you're not who you think you are once you get a revelation of what Christ's word says. The second thing is, amen, what have we received in Christ? Because, amen, when we receive Christ, there are things that God has already imparted inside of us that we need to discover. That's why you can hear scriptures like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. And then all these other things, he said, he will be added unto you. Does that make any sense? So he's telling us, even though you have it, you got to seek it out. So now what we have received. So who we are in Christ, what we have received in Christ. The third one is how to appropriate the Word of God in everyday living. Because people look at us in the world, they say, well, you know what, you're having the same problems I'm having, and I heard you having the same difficulty, and you don't seem to be overcoming, but you want me to come to this place called church, and because you're getting the Word to help transform your life, but I don't see any change in your life. I hear you shouting. Does that make any sense? This is just the reality of it, because the church is not losing its emphasis. We're just losing our purpose of how to show forth who what God says we are. Come on now. See, because you know what? The Bible says if the salt loses its what? Savior, it's no good for it, what? Anything. So first we got who we are in Christ, what we have received in Christ. The third one is how to appropriate the Word of God in everyday living. And the last one is how to be an effective witness to those who are lost. Those four things are very important. Amen. I didn't get that when I got saved. Nobody knew that, knew what I was even, it wasn't there. I got a lot of church stuff, but I didn't get things to teach me how to live and how to use my faith. I stumbled upon that, amen, just by God, amen, crying and asking God to teach me his way so I can walk in his path. Amen, because I want everything that Jesus died on Calvary cross for. It wasn't just heaven, but there's some things here in the earth that he died for. I want that too. I won't leave nothing on the table. Look, you can say, he said he ain't going to leave nothing on the table. I mean, if it's on the table and it says it's mine here now, I want it. And I'm going to use my faith, amen, which is my confidence in my God, which he just mentioned. I'm going to learn how to use my confession to confess it that is mine, calling those things and not before they come, because sometimes we're confessing in our reality of what we see and not what he's already promised us. Is that all right? Yeah. And the third thing is obedience. I got to make sure I'm living in a way, amen, that I don't reflect, amen, disobedience. And disobedience is really just stubbornness. Can I just put it out there on the table, amen? Disobedience is really independence, living independent away from God. You know, the unholy Trinity, can I tell you about the unholy Trinity real quick? It ain't in the Bible, but God told me that what the unholy Trinity is me, myself, and I. Me, myself, yeah. Think about it. Amen. The triune, me, myself, and I. And sometimes if we're not careful, we try to rule our lives from that constitution, from that stem of government that we have established. It has nothing to do with God. Is that all right? I'm talking tonight. Amen. Y'all getting this tonight? So again, growing our faith is tied to us receiving divine provisions. This is what I want you to get. Growing our faith is tied to us receiving, somebody say receiving, God's divine provisions. Somebody say provisions. To be released upon one's life. Yeah, to be released upon one's life. You're saved, but yet you're being saved. And yet we'll be saved again. And saved again, because we don't know what you may have to encounter in the world. Because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And there are things that happen all the time. Jesus put it this way. Can I read it real quick? Let me go here and read this. I don't even have this in my notes, but I hear you, Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Go with me, if you would, to John 16:34. And let me just read this, amen, because some people don't get this, but we're going to get it tonight. Is that all right? Yes. Amen. I figure if we read it, we'll get it. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. John 16:34. 33. There's no 34. I got there and you, so somebody was wrong. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was me. Praise God. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. It says, these things have I spoken to you that in me ye might have what? Peace. This is in red, so Jesus is talking. And then he says, in the world you shall have what?
Tribulation.
See, we pray it won't come. He said, you're going to have it. See, people fall out. Well, God don't love me because this trial came, and it's the devil. He said, you're going to have it. He didn't even say it was the devil. We just ad lib. Amen. It says, have tribulation. Then he said, be of good cheer, for I have what? Overcome what?
The world.
Amen. So that overcoming power goes back to 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory to overcome the world, even our faith. See, we can use our faith to overcome trials.
Yes.
We can use our faith to change the story.
Yes.
Is that all right? It comes negative, but by the time we get through confessing and praying and interceding and doing what, God's going to what? Turn it around. Because Romans says 8 and 28, and we know all things are working together and fitting in their plan for good to those who love God and are called according what to his purpose. He didn't say it was the tribulation was good, but when we get down working our faith in Christ and calling on the Lord and believing and trusting him, he's going to turn that thing around. Is that all right? He knows how to do that. Amen. Amen. So you need to hear that. Now, in the Amplified, I'm going to read that same scripture in the Amplified, but listen how that blows it up here. It says, I have told you these things so that in me, somebody said in him, it said, you may have perfect peace and confidence. Or there that word confidence is. He said, in the world you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. He just laid it all out. He said, you ain't got to pray for it. It ain't that you've done something wrong. It's not that he doesn't love you. He said, this is a part of the world system, and because you're in the system, these things come. It's just day. It just come. So he lays it out. He said, tribulations, trials, distress, frustration. But then thank God it's got a semicolon here. It didn't say a semicolon, amen, which is basically it has to deal with English. It's not a period. There's a statement coming after that. Woo, glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Hey, my God, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, thank you. There's a statement coming. Woo, glory. There's no period, amen, praise God. Ah, hallelujah. It's a semicolon, which simply means there's a statement coming after this statement that has already been made. Then it says, but, I like the buts in the Bible, praise God. But be of good cheer. Come on now, take courage. What are you saying? All these things are coming, but when you see tribulation come, it said, you be of good, hey, tribulation. That ain't what we're doing. Come on now. Hello, trials. That ain't what we're doing. He said, be of what? Be of good cheer. Why does he say that? Because if the earlier part of that, he said, be confident because you're going to be in him. And then he describes all the stuff that's going to happen. Because don't worry, because I'm here with you in the midst of what's getting ready to happen. Are you hearing me? So he says, be of good cheer. Take courage. Because we want to run, you know. That's why I use the word courage, because in the heat of the battle, we trying to run in the opposite direction. Amen. So when it says, be confident, somebody said confident. Now listen, be certain, say certain. Undaunted. Oh, listen to these words. Woo, glory to God. Then it says, for I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of the power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Then the period came, period. Are you hearing that? So you have to understand, and the enemy loves to work on us to the degree to make you think that God is not there because things are not working on your behalf. He's there. This is all a process of learning to know that, amen, God wants to bring, amen, some things in our life to show us that, amen, that when the trial comes or the tribulation comes, and if we stand in faith, without murmuring and complaining, and if we just hold fast, he's going to show you, amen, the silver lining behind everything that you're going through. Y'all receive that tonight? Yeah. Notice also, I said here, going back to what I said, growing our faith is tied to receiving God's divine provisions to be released upon one's life that will bring about a change that is favorable to help benefit you and others. Found out when you go through something and it's not just you going through it, God has purpose behind it. There's somebody else going to be blessed and be benefited from you going through, amen, as you allow God to allow you to teach you how to be an overcomer. Somebody say overcomer. Now, amen, the faith principle of God's blessing is to be a blessing to others. That's found in Genesis chapter number 12. Abraham, remember Abram? God calls Abram. He said, I'm gonna bless you. So that you can be a blessing. See, I think the church got it wrong. We want God to bless us. But we leave off the part that he's going, the purpose of him blessing us so that we can be a blessing to someone else. You want to know a good evangelism tool to draw people is that you start taking the benefit of what you have and begin to bless people. They don't even have to ask for it. Just be a blessing to them in some kind of way. They'll seek you out after a while. They'll be like, that's unheard of. Are you hearing me? One time I was in the store one time, and God said, pay for that lady's groceries. That's unheard of. You don't do that. But that's being what? Being a blessing. She didn't ask for it, but just being a blessing. One time I went in the store, and a young man just paying attention. Somebody say, just paying attention. Young man was there trying to buy something he was trying to buy. He was short on change. And he said, I'm going to go to the car and get what I need. So while I was standing there, I have an opportunity now to be a blessing. I told the cashier, I said, how much was that? He was short. He told me. I said, well, here, I'm going to go ahead and pay for that now. And this is what the cashier said. Well, I don't think he's coming back. He's probably embarrassed because he don't have enough money. I said, well, I'm going to pay for it anyhow. If you don't come back by the time I get this paid for, I'm going to go in the parking lot. If he's out there, I'll see that he gets it. See, being a blessing always will cost you something. But it'll cost you something that really is not yours. Think about it for a minute. It's not really yours. It's just taking the time, amen, to be considerate of somebody else. Is that all right? I'm going to challenge y'all. If y'all just do that all this week, just go out your way, amen, and just do that little bitty thing for somebody. You just never know what God will do, amen, because somebody will look at you and say, that's not normal. Because why? We're doing things in the light of God. Is that all right? So remember, learning to use one's faith is a process. Say that with me. Learning to use one's faith is a process. Now let me help you, because in the process, we don't fail. I like this. Because sometimes when the learning aspect, there's a lot of measuring going on in learning. If you're not careful, it can kind of deal with your confidence in a way that you just kind of say, well, I can't engage, I can't do this. But what happens is when we engage in this process to say, God, teach us how to use our faith, what happens is grace comes upon us. You ever been in school where, you had to be at school at 8 o'clock, but they give you a grace period. You got 10 minutes before the bell go off. Back in the day, they would have people, what they call patrolling the hallway. What do we call them? Yeah, they're monitoring all right. Yeah, the hall monitors. Some of y'all was hall monitors. Which one? Raise your hands up, amen. So what was the hall monitors for? Yeah, they were there, amen, to reinforce, amen, being on time, first of all. Because what happens a lot of times, if you had to be there at 8 o'clock, you still had grace period. The grace period, you had 10 minutes in that time, amen, to still make it before you'd be pulled over by the hall monitor and they ask you your name and then they report it to the office. What I love about God, touch a neighbor and say, or point at your neighbor and say, no one fails in God's school. It just takes some of us a little longer than others. That's why we don't fail, because God has a lot of patience. I would tell people, God thinks like a parent, because he is a parent. He's not going to listen. The parenting is about educating the child so the child can understand and know it. He doesn't want to hover over us to the degree he wants us to understand what his will is and then voluntarily act out what his will is. Is that making any sense? So did y'all get that? Y'all's laughing for a minute, but no one fails in God's school. It just takes some of us a little longer than others. Amen. Praise God. I always tell people I wasn't the sharpest pencil in the box, amen, but I was in the box. Come on now. Come on. Touch your neighbor and say, we're in the box. Amen. That's a good thing to know. Praise God. Because the world, amen, they're taking all the sharp, amen. But God, he doesn't look at it that way. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 12 as we begin to get into this study here tonight, talking about understanding, learning to use one's faith as a process. We got to start somewhere. We can't use excuses, well, I don't know. Well, I'm too old. And no, we got to let all that stuff go out the window, because what? God is waiting on us to learn, to learn his ways and walk in his path. And you know what? That would take out throughout eternity to do that, because once you learn one aspect about God and he knows you got it, he's going to move you on to something else. Is that all right? I heard a preacher say one time, I can take one verse and preach it from here to eternity. And it can be done too, because there's different revelations that God would give upon that one verse. Now, Hebrews 6 and 12, if you just say amen. Amen. Say amen again. Amen. Now, notice it says, that ye be not slothful, you hear that? But be followers of them through faith and patience, inherit the what? Promises. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear the prerequisites in there? It's a prerequisite in that. Prerequisites means it's something that you have to do in order for it to happen. Are you hearing me? First it says, be not what? Slothful. Then it says what? Be followers of them who through faith, somebody say faith, and patience, inherit the promise. So he's telling us how you inherit the promise is it's going to take you to have faith and patience. They work together. Come on now, somebody down there laughing already, amen, because I guess God done spoke to her and said, either you need faith or you need some patience, praise God. And I think I take the latter, praise God. He says that with faith and patience, we shall inherit the promise. In other words, the promises are there. But to get them off of the table or get them working in your life, these two ingredients has to be developed inside of you. Does that make any sense? Now, in the Amplified, my wife always tells me, I don't like the Amplified. The reason I like it, because it gives more detail behind that which has been spoken. But listen what it says. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritually sluggard, but imitators, behaving as those who, through faith, by their leaning on the entire personality of God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, listen, wisdom and goodness, and by practice, by practice of patience. Y'all hear that? So in other words, you can't pray for patience. You got to practice patience. You know, we get all spiritual. Just put patience in me, God. Just I receive it now in Jesus' name. That ain't how it come. Come on, that ain't how you're going to get it. It says practice of patience, endurance. Then it says patience is endurance. And waiting are now inheriting the promises of God. One of our elders in the church, he said, patience is enduring without complaining. No one fails in God's school. Come on now. Yeah. Because you know, this is where we all mess up. Mm-hmm. We're looking at our watches. You know, I've endured this for about 3 minutes now. I think it's long enough. All right, God, where you at? Oh, we got our planner. It's day 6. You know what? I'm not taking this past day 7. We do things like that, and God got a sense of humor. He just laughed, you know. He just laughed. He said, they don't understand. They got to go through this. They're not going around it. They got to go through. It's funny. A lot of times people try to get around it. They go to another church. He said, I'll just fix it over there for them. And when they get there, because you're going to get through this. Yeah. Then somebody said, well, I ain't going to go to church. He fixed it on the job. You got to go to work. Y'all smelling it. Are y'all getting this tonight? All right, can we move on here for time's sake? Amen. This is good. Amen. So process is learning to the point of understanding. Process of learning is the point of what? Understanding. Somebody say understanding. You need to hear this point that God spoke to me. He said, from his point of view, from God's point of view, he said the focus should not be on the promise. That's where the church is. We focus on the promise so much. He said the focus, from God's point of view, the focus shouldn't be on the promise being manifested. However, the focus should be on how to use one's faith to obtain the manifestation of that promise. Woo! That's a statement. That's the kind of statement you got to, you know, where you break it off and chew a little bit, you know, and then tomorrow you chew a little bit more, and then you chew a little bit more, because what we're doing, sometimes we're focusing on the wrong thing. Because in this statement I just made, the focus shouldn't be on the promise being manifested, However, the focus should be on how to use one's faith to obtain the manifestation of the promise. Because how we get the promise is not God. God said, here's the promise. I've done my part. Here's the promise. How you get it is faith and
patience.
Woo! So sometimes what could be holding us up for not receiving the promise, we want to blame the devil, and it could be that it's a lack of our patience. Because you know when we get impatient, we get irritable. Y'all laughing. Yeah. I always say, you know what, if you turn the temperature up just enough concerning a believer, you'll find out what kind of fruit they got. How many know heat makes things grow? It also makes things come out. Is that all right? So again, amen, he's trying to let us know that through faith and patience, you can inherit the promises. Does that make any sense? Now, I'm going to touch something tonight. I'm almost done here because I want to make sure I lay this foundation. Because I gave you a lot of meat tonight. This is a lot of meat. Amen, amen. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So the meat of God is to do his will. But to do his will, you have to understand the process of what he's requiring from you in order for you to do his will. Does that make any sense? So that's what we're talking about tonight. We're throwing keys your way. Amen. Keys. Don't go home with your keys and, you know, and throwing the keys over there. No, take the keys and work them in the areas that we're talking about and understand that faith, amen, is you having what? Confidence in God, amen, not only that, but it's your confession, and that's also what your obedience. Not only that, it's important for you to understand patience means to endure without complaining. Well, how do we pass this test? Shut your mouth. Hum. Don't let it come out. Just you may turn red, but this doesn't matter. By the time you leave the store, whatever, at least you know I passed the test. Y'all laughing, but it's the truth anyway. Don't let that mouth open up. That tongue will get the James said the tongue will set the world on fire. And then we feel bad afterwards because we know we failed the test. But no one fails in God's school. And God, he'll convict us of having a bad attitude. And we said, Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have acted that way. He said, well, that's good, but because the test is coming again. It's good stuff tonight. Look at your neighbor. Point at your neighbor and say, are you getting this? Because he wants you to get the promise. He wants you to get the promise. Jesus, listen, his blood cost too much. All the sacrifice that he gave for us, and it's laying there for us, and we don't want to process and learn how to use our faith and patience to get what God has for us. Turn to Matthew chapter number 8. Amen. Let me touch this and then we're almost done here. Good stuff tonight?
Amen.
I think it's good. Amen. Glory to God. It came from God. It's got to be good. Matthew 8 and 5. Amen. When you're there, just say amen.
Amen.
All right. It says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and I will heal him. The eighth verse said, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should have come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, it says here. Ninth verse, amen, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, amen, it says, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth that, and doeth it. The 10th verse, our last verse, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. Somebody say great faith.
Great faith.
No, not in Israel, he says. Now, one of the things in learning, to develop your faith, you have to develop this thing called discernment. discernment. This reason I read this is because the centurion used discernment to understand something. Discernment is when you look behind the motive. You're just not looking at what someone tells you. You're looking, you're going a little further and trying to get an understanding. Does that make any sense? Now, this is important. The great faith means simply Jesus saying this centurion, who is a non-believer, has developed mature faith. In other words, his understanding of faith is locked in him. And the reason why, and we listen to the conversation, we're going to find out how he arrived at having this faith is because he used discernment. First of all, he comes to Jesus, right? Now, I like this. He comes to Jesus. Really, he has no right to talk to Jesus because he's not under covenant. But he's coming to intercede on behalf of his Hebrew slave who is under covenant. Come on now. So he's going to talk to Jesus, not on his behalf, but on behalf of his servant who is under covenant, Abraham's covenant. And because a covenant means God promised to work on behalf of the Hebrew people. Does that make any sense? So somehow or another, he comes to Jesus and said, listen, my servant at home is sick. Check it out. Then he says, you know what? Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And first thing he says, you ain't even got to come to my house. Now, if that was us, yeah, come on, Jesus. Come on to the house. You know, come on, lay your hands on him, Jesus. Come on now. Come on. What is this boy? This boy says, listen, the Bible says, this is what he said. He said, you know what? Listen, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof. He said, but just speak the word only, and my servant will be made whole. Then he uses his discernment to how he arrived at this, him saying what he was saying. He said, I'm a man under authority, like you. What he's simply saying is authority is given by submission and obedience. He said, I joined the Roman umpire and I joined the army as a foot soldier. He said, I'm a centurion now. I got 50 to about 100 men that now are under my control. But that didn't come by just me being a foot soldier. I had to learn how to submit myself to authority. And he said, I've done that enough that now I have these rankings upon me. So now I know that Jesus, he said, you're under authority. Woo, my God. He said, to the degree, you know, I don't need your physical presence to come to my house because you're under authority. That means you have the authority to speak on behalf of who gave you the authority. And they're the ones going to back up, amen, what you say. Did I hear that? He's using discernment. All this is because he's processed this. He processed all. And then finally, Jesus said, I haven't seen this much great faith. No, not in all Israel. This mature faith. This faith where no one told him. He went behind the veil and seen how the comparison was, what authority is and how authority is given. And he put it together and said, you know what? Just speak the word. My God, if we can put it together, amen, as a church, amen, we can say some things and change some things. Does that make any sense? I want to go to one more verse, and I'm going to stop. I'm going to pick this up tomorrow night. This is good stuff. Let's look at, let me say this. Discernment is one of the nuggets in processing one's faith. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to pray, God, give me discernment. Help me to understand what I'm not understanding. Somebody told me years ago, one of the elders, when I first got saved, and I told him I didn't understand the Bible. He says, well, before you read it, pray and ask God to open up your understanding. Don't just get in there. You know how we get in there? And we're reading it. No, he said, pray first, then read. Pray first, then read. Pray first, then read. I found out when I started doing that more and more, I would read things, and then I was like, where'd that come from? And it was right there, hidden in between I said, wow. Sometimes I read things and it was like things were jumping off the page to smack me. I said, oh my goodness. So keep that in mind. Somebody said, keep that in mind. Turn to Mark 2:1. I'm almost done. Amen. So stay with me. Amen. It's good stuff tonight. Praise God. Mark chapter number 2. Amen. We're talking about the process of growing our faith. Amen. And Mark, amen, chapter number 2. Amen. Let's go to verse number 1. And again, he entered in Capernaum after the some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Not as so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. This is talking about Jesus. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, and they laid down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith. Y'all hear that? Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. Now, I like this because the point I'm going to bring out here is that sometimes it requires natural labor, amen, in using your faith. Because, you know, some people spiritualize it so much we think that naturally we don't have to do anything. Does that make any sense? Now, first of all, these 4 boys, I like these 4 boys. I need four of them around me all the time. Amen. Because they looked at this brother and they said, you know what? We're tired of you in this situation. We're going to join our faith with you. And we're going to build something to carry you to the meeting. I like that. They carry him. That's labor. That means it didn't say how far they had to walk, but there's some labor involved, natural labor involved in them using their faith. And they had to, carry him. And then once they got there, it could have just ended right there. Because they couldn't get inside. Now they're using natural labor, to carry him up to the what? To the roof. And now the clay roof, they tear the roof off, and then they lower the man down in the midst. And Jesus said, when he saw their labor, their natural labor. Natural labor. Well, God ain't into natural things. I beckon that. yeah, he is. Amen. How many, when Peter, amen, Jesus went into town one time to pay the temple taxes, and Judas was the treasurer, and they couldn't find him. People think Jesus was broke. Jesus wasn't broke, amen. All that money he got, amen, when he was in the, in the inn, amen, when he was born in Bethlehem, amen, amen, amen. Joseph was like breaking all that stuff. Yeah. They had all them, jewels and all kind of things, frankincense and all that, praise God. But the Bible talks about Jesus, amen. Amen. Went to pay temple taxes and the treasure wasn't there. So then he looks at Peter. He said, Peter, he said, go down and fish. I know Peter's confused. First you tell me I can't fish. You tell me to follow you. And now you tell me to go fishing. But he said, but there's a purpose behind him letting him go fish. He said, the first fish you catch, come on now, open up his mouth, take the money out of the mouth. There's a fish swimming with some money in it. Peter said, I'm catching fish to eat fish. And Jesus said, there's a fish. We ain't going to eat this fish. There's money inside of this fish. There's a bank underwater, amen. There's cans of money. Are y'all hearing me today? And what Jesus did, somebody said, what Jesus did. He made Peter use natural labor to get the blessing. Are you hearing me? No, people, well, God going to do it. No, he going to do it, but you going to get up and do something in order for him to do it. Let me stop there. This is good stuff. Did y'all get this tonight? Just bow your head with me in the presence of the Lord, if you would. We don't want to exhaust our time. We know we can go on and on, but we're mindful of many of you have to work tomorrow. and many of you have got some chores and got to go to school. We want you to come back tomorrow night. Amen. We want you to try to bring a friend with you tomorrow night. Is that all right? Because they need to hear this too. It'll be a blessing to them. So, Father, even now as with our heads bowed before your presence, we thank you for allowing us once again to speak forth your word to those who have received tonight. So much that you've given us tonight that we need to get to. If there was a CD, there's a tape, man, we just need to get it. And get in our spirit and get the things we didn't quite catch, God, that we can put it in play in our lives, God, so that we can receive the things you said are rightfully ours, not when we get to heaven, but right now. There's some things we need right now. And you even told us there's a remedy to get it has to deal with our faith and patience. My God, could it be that we've just missed that piece? We missed that part of that training. We missed that part of teaching. Bring it back around again and help us pass the test of having faith and patience, enduring without complaining. Even tonight, God, many of us have failed the test. I ask that you forgive us, God. Forgive us for not understanding how much patience plays in the part of us inheriting the things that you have for us, God. Help us even now to pass the test, God, to endure without complaining, God. Help us, God, even when the tests come and we know we're in the heat of it, God. We know that what it's requiring because we've done it before. Help us to do something different, God. We thank you so much for all those who are here. Thank you for all those, amen, that have received, God. We thank you for even watching over us tonight. Let no harm come unto each and every one of us, our family members. We commit all of it back unto you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for allowing us to minister to your people tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God.